Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you excited to be in church today? Hallelujah. I'm excited to be in church today. I've been in church all week. Glory to God. I have been. We went down to Tennessee this week and was able to see Reverend Greer, who's going to be here in a month and a half or so. Praise the Lord. And God's just doing wonderful things. Amen. I'm just glad that we get to be part of all that. Amen. And I think about the wonderful men and women of God that God has hooked us up with. It's just so exciting to see what he's doing and to see how we get to be part of it. Amen. You know, one of the greatest things I think about the what God does is that he takes people that were formerly not usable and he uses them to fulfill his purpose. Amen. And I just love that. I learned that in church, that God fulfills his purpose through humans, amen, through humanity, through you and me, praise the Lord. I said through you and me, hallelujah, not just me, not just the pastor of the church, not just the deacons of the church, not just the whatevers of the church, not just the toilet cleaner of the church, but everybody, amen. He uses everybody, praise the Lord. And that's just exciting. I'm excited for what God has for us. I know he's leading us into some good things, and thus this message this week, praise the Lord. I'm excited for what God has for us this week. Today's message is called What Holds Us Back? Hallelujah. What holds us back? And we're not talking personally. We have to understand this. And of course, our lives are always connected to what God is doing. You know, the prayers that we pray, the answers that we receive, the answers we don't receive, they're all connected to what God is doing in our lives or how we connect to God. You look sharp today, buddy. I just want to point that out. Wow. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Always love it when young men, when they decide to honor the Lord. And that's just exciting. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. A mighty man of God over here. Praise the Lord. But anyways, what was I talking about? God using us, amen, right? He was using he uses all of us, praise the Lord. Was I talking about that? I thought I would move to... Yeah, but, well, praise the Lord. We'll go. But what holds us... Oh, I know what I was talking about. What holds us back? You know, everything that God is going to do on the earth is connected to how we connect to him. You know, so many people think that they can be a Christian separate from God's plan. They can be a Christian on their own. And it just doesn't work that way. You can't be just a Christian on your own. You can't be part of the body on your own. Amen? How many know if I took my hand and threw it over there in the corner, it's not going to do good by itself. Amen? In fact, in a few days, it's going to be like Lazarus. It's going to stinketh. Amen. It's not going to smell good. If we disconnect from the body, if we disconnect from the life that's flowing through us, amen, the life is in the blood, glory to God. And Jesus used the metaphor of us being a body of Christ for a reason, amen, or us being a part of a branch on the vine, amen. And he even told us that the vine or the branch could do nothing of itself, amen. And so that's the same way with us Christians. We can do nothing of ourselves, nothing by ourselves. We're not worth a whole lot by ourselves. We're no different than that. But you know, when we live in an area with lots of grapes, and if you drive by grape vineyards, you'll see in the summertime especially, you'll see lots of green and lots of growth, and you'll see lots of things happening. But you know, there's certain times of the year you also drive by a grape vineyard and you also see a bunch of branches cut off on the side in a pile, right? And what are those branches good for? Well, they're not good for anything but to be burned. And the same thing is with Christians. Christians just aren't worth much if they're not connected to the body. And when I mean connected, there's ways that we are connected, but in all the ways, as many ways as we can be. When I realize what the Lord did for me, when I realize what the Lord has done in me, amen, and what he saved me from, I wanted to be connected to just about as much as I could, amen, and even what I couldn't. In fact, one of my goals in life still is to find out those places, those things that I can connect to more. God, how can I be more? Part of my consecration, part of my prayer, even daily, is, Lord, how can I be more effective at what you're doing, at being connected to you, amen? Because I'm not just okay with the status quo. And as Christians, as people have been saved and blood bought, praise the Lord, we should not be just sitting around, just doing what we can to get by. We need to be looking for what more can we do, amen? How can we be connected to this more? And so today's message is about that. What holds us back? Because there's things that God wants, he intends a body to move into. And we will only move into it as we go together, amen? We won't move into it separately, but we'll only move into it together, amen? And we're going to start in Amos 3. Praise the Lord. This is where the crispy pages of your Bible, you know, a place you hardly ever go. I even bookmarked it. Hallelujah. I got a ribbon, so I turn right there, amen? Glory to God. That makes me more spiritual than you. Amen. Because I thought ahead of time, I was like, man, I ain't going to fumble through trying to figure out where it is. I'm just going to go right there, amen. Glory to God. That's a joke. I know about where it is. But you know, there's a lot of the prophets right there. They're all kind of short, and you can flip around back and forth. And I got this new sticky page Bible, so we got to break it in still, amen. Amos 3, and we're going to start in verse 3. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? I probably should have given you more time because you didn't bookmark it. Praise the Lord. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? That's a pretty short verse, but it's really to the point. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer to that question is no. It's a resounding no, amen. You can't move together unless you're agreed. I think often of oxen as they're yoked together, or horses as they're tied together. You know, as long as they're going in the same direction, it works. But if they're trying to fight each other and go off in different directions, it isn't going to work, amen. And we have to realize that we've been yoked together with Christ, but we've also been yoked to a body. We've also been connected to a body to do certain things, amen. This is why sometimes opinions in the church are a very non-productive thing. You know, we're used to having opinions in America. We love being able to, we live in the land of the free and the home of the brave, glory to God, and we get to have a say in just about everything, hallelujah. But how many know that God didn't intend that for the church? God didn't intend to vote on things in the church. In fact, we don't see that in Scripture. We see when people started going against the grain that oftentimes they were judged for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we have this thought process that somehow God has changed. That God, you know, that everybody should have a say in how we do things or what we do. You know, I would almost guarantee if we had taken a vote, it probably would have been close to being split on whether or not to start the Cory Church or not. But how many know that God is in that? God is doing wonderful things there. And see, that's an exciting thing because, and I know that when my pastor, you know, we were in the old building in Jamestown, if you've never seen it, it's just the building that was up front, and it sat about, I think, packed out, we sat about 160 people. I remember one Sunday, I think we had 158 people in there. And the Lord started dealing with my pastor's heart about building a building. And, you know, if we had taken a poll, I would have been one of them that was opposed to it. I didn't want to necessarily do that. I didn't want, why do we got to spend all this money on this? You know, this is what people start talking about, stuff like that. And that's just opinions that aren't worth a whole lot, amen? But, you know, when we did that, we almost immediately saw an increase of about double the people. And we're not just talking about doubling the size of the church so we can say, hey, we have a church of 300 now. But what happened was is we've seen doubling the lives of people that were getting helped. Because people are changed in the family churches. I'm not speaking against other churches. I'm not speaking for other churches. All I'm saying is I know in the family churches that lives are changed. You know, Pastor Tim and I were talking this week, and one of the things that he said was, you know, he said it seems that the Lord has really brought us a ministry of helping restore marriages in Family Church Jamestown. I think about them like, praise God. I mean, in a nation where half or more of the people are getting divorced and marriages are falling apart because of all different kinds of things, you see people coming in and getting restored, the marriages restored, things where people didn't think that they could actually fix them, and it happens. Praise God. You know, we've seen a ministry of being able to help people that have been in hurt in religion and other things as well, and addictions being broken and different things like that. Why? Because God is moving. He does things through the local body. But, you know, sometimes people... they can't see the whole vision. But it's important that we run with the vision whether we see it or not. Because what God has called us to, He's called us to together. Amen. But God isn't going to direct everybody. You know, I just think about driving a car, you know, and we all drive differently, right? You ever ride with someone and you're like, you don't like the way that they drive? And everybody who drives is generally the best driver there is, right? We all know that. But everybody who rides knows that they're not the best driver, right? It's just the way that it is. We all got stuff that we could say, amen? There's a certain situation in my life, praise the Lord, and I'm not going to go into details of the who. It's not my wife. But praise the Lord, but not the detail. But they are convinced I'm a terrible driver, which I probably am. I have no problems with that. I can get where I need to go, and that's all that matters. Amen. But the thing is when I ride with this person, I think, you know, it's so funny that they always talk about how bad of a driver I am, but they are, like, terrible at driving. I mean, terrible. I'm talking, like, brake gas. You know what I mean? I'm talking about pulling out in the middle of an intersection and stopping. I'm talking about not being aware of where the vehicle is at all times. You know what I'm saying? Just like self-awareness and driving, which is very, very important. Amen. But everybody, you know, but you know, if we're not in agreement, when if we're both trying to drive the vehicle, we're going to get into a trial. And that's what I was trying to bring up through this is you can't have two steering wheels in a car. Because two people that are going to do that are going to fight. You know that's going to happen. If there was two steering wheels in the vehicle, those two people are going to fight. It's going to, as much as I've never even told this person that I think they're a terrible driver, because I haven't, never said a word about it, amen? I just kind of chuckle to myself when I'm riding, amen? But if I had a steering wheel, you know I'd be tempted to be like, no, go my way. You know what I mean? Or gas. When they stop in the middle of the intersection, I'd be like, no, gas. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, that's just the way it is, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. But we know that there has to be direction. We can't all just be going in all different kinds of directions. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I love when Jesus was here and we were told that Jesus was our ultimate example. Jesus didn't consult the disciples on what they should do. Amen. And in fact, if he did bring up a question to them, it was either to test their faith or it was to teach them something. But it was never because Jesus really needed the direction of Peter, James, John. Praise the Lord. He didn't need their direction. He didn't need to know which way to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's something that we need to remember. Why do I say all this? Because people are, no, because it's easy. The reason I say this is because I understand. It's easy to have an opinion on things. But we have to understand that what's needed is not people's opinions. What's needed is people's agreement. We need people to connect with what's going and run with it because you believe that you're connected to this work. See, God doesn't connect us anywhere. Like I say this all the time, I may go out and invite people to church, but I don't force anybody to come in. But what we have to do is if you believe that the Lord's led you and you believe the Lord's brought you, then it's your job to connect on a level that is you connecting to God, amen? Because the house of the Lord is where we connect to God. You know, so many people think that they can have God without having the house of God, but you can't. You cannot have God without the house of God. Why? Because Jesus established the local church. He established the ministry offices. The first thing that Jesus did when he ascended was he led captivity captive. The second thing he did, praise the Lord, was give us the ministry offices. That of the, you know, the five, what we call the fivefold ministry offices. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, and the pastor. Amen. He gave us all these for the perfecting of the saints. Amen. And we understand that. Now, listen, just because I'm a pastor, I'm not speaking like I'm on some high authority because I also have a pastor. In fact, a lot of people think it's odd when I talk about my pastors. I go to pastoral meetings with other pastors. And I talk about my pastor. And people think that's odd. They're like, wait a minute, you're a pastor? Yeah, I still have a pastor. See, if you're not connected to a pastor, guess what? You're not going to get the feeding that you need. You know, Jesus told Peter, he said, if you love me, what? Feed my sheep. Glory to God. The primary job of a pastor is to feed God's sheep. Glory to God. Can two walk together except they are agreed? They can't. Unless they are agreed, they can't. It's just not going to happen, amen? And so if we're going to go in the direction, if we want what God has for us, we have to go together, amen? Praise the Lord. You know, one of the greatest things that I learned is that, and this works really well in marriages too, husbands and wives, you need to be listening, not just as you're connected to a church, but as you're connected to each other. If you have a spouse that's, if you and your spouse are at odds with something, you need to get into agreement. Why? Well, the Bible says that if two people are married, praise the Lord, and they're not in agreement. The Bible tells us that their prayers can be hindered. Yeah. So my wife and I have learned we need to get in agreement quick. Why? Because we don't want our prayers hindered. We need to get in agreement quickly. Now, what happens when you can't agree on something? That's not when you sit there and argue about it for the next 10 hours. That's not what that's for. What we're supposed to do is go to God in prayer. Lord, change their heart or mind. Praise the Lord. God, Christians, we would do so well. You know, there was some Christian loudmouth, praise the Lord. They got on social media. They got mad at me because I prayed for the president. And they just don't like President Trump. Well, listen, I don't care if you like President Trump or not. I didn't like President Obama, but I prayed for him. Yeah. I'm just telling you the truth. I didn't like him. Praise the Lord. I've never been quiet about that. But I prayed for him. Why? Because I don't want the man to fail. I don't want whoever's in office to fail. They could put whoever in office. I don't care who it is. We need to pray. Amen. But it's the same thing with everything. We need to pray for them. We need to lift people up in prayer, not talk against them. We need to lift people up in prayer, not try to win the argument. Amen. And that's half of our problem is, see, again, because we have an opinion in this country. We're raised to believe that we have a say in everything. But we need to pray because prayer is where it happens. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Hebrews 12. I told you guys recently, I don't know if you all remember, but I told you recently that I was in prayer, and the Lord spoke to me while I was in prayer and said, lighten up. You remember I said that? Yeah. Glory to God. Well, these scriptures right here came out when we were down in Gatlinburg this week. And when I heard these scriptures, of course, I've heard them before, but when I heard these scriptures, it was God speaking to me, and I knew that this is exactly what he was talking about. Remember I told you I wasn't perfectly sure of what he was talking about when he said that at the time, when I heard that? Well, this was the answer to it right here. Glory to God. And these scriptures are what this whole message is based out of. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Glory to God. It says here, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hallelujah. Not the race that you chose. Not the race that you want. The race that is set before us. See, this is this is where we fail so often, is because we go to God and we're like, God, here's what I want to do. This is what my plan is. It almost drives me bonkers sometimes when I hear people asking their teenage kids, what do they want to do? I don't care what my kids want to do. What is God showing you to do? We teach our kids to seek the Lord. Praise the Lord. You find out what God wants you to do. You don't just do what you want to do. You do what God wants you to do. Why? Because when you teach kids to do what they want to do, they're going to go do what? What they want to do. And guess what? It probably isn't going to be what God wants them to do. We have generations of Christians who have been raised in this idea. We'll just go do what we want to do. We're just going to make things up. We're just going to come up with our own way. And that is why so many people fail. It's not because the word fails. People fail because they're not doing what God is showing them to do. We have been given the Holy Spirit to be our counselor. That's one thing the Bible calls the Holy Spirit, is he's our counselor. His job is to show us the future, show us things to come, to guide us into all truth. Praise the Lord. We heard these things, right? To remind us of what the Word says. This is what the Holy Spirit, and then yet people aren't taught people don't know to talk to him and ask him, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go, Lord? How would you like me to do this? Amen? This is why we don't have church programs like other churches have programs. This is why 1 year we may be in the parade and 1 year we may not be in the parade. Right? What do? We follow what God says. I never wanted to be in the parade. I use this example a lot because I never had any desire to be in the parade. In fact, the last thing that I want to do is be visible in just about anything. If you know me, you know that's the truth. I just have no desire to be out there. I have no desire to be parading down the street, passing out, you know, candy or doing anything else. Praise God, I just didn't want to do it. But, you know, when the Lord leads us to do something, there's a plan and a purpose behind it. And so that's what we did. Will we do it again? We might do it again if God shows us to do that. But you know, there's plans and purposes that God has for us. We read Jeremiah 29:11. I love what my wife was saying, because I wanted to get up when she was preaching it. There's something that stirred me. I wanted to get up and preach just what she was saying, because it's so true. People say that, oh, it doesn't apply. Oh, so God doesn't have any good plans for his people anymore? You mean he sent Jesus, right, to deliver us and to give us life, an abundant life, and yet he has no plans for us? He sent Jesus because he had no plan. I mean, people think, do they really think God is stupid? Because listen, people who walk around life with no plan, they're stupid. I'm just telling you the truth. I was the stupidest of the stupid. I was the most stupidly of all the stupid people that could ever be, praise the Lord. Why? Because I thrived in my way. I thrived in like wanting to do it. I didn't thrive in it. I actually failed at everything I did. In fact, it was kind of funny. Every single thing I touched failed. Why? I was a born-again believer. I was a born-again believer in a mental institution. This happened. How did this happen? Because I was doing things according to my plan, not God's. Praise the Lord. The Word sets us free. The Word of God will set us free. Amen. That's what set me free. I was a born-again believer who was on antipsychotic drugs. Yeah, your pastor used to be on antipsychotic drugs. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Some people think I still should be, amen. I was on antidepressants. I was on all kinds of things that mellowed me out and calmed me down because I was too stirred up and not in good things, amen. I don't take those drugs anymore. Praise the Lord. I graduated to something new. Amen. I learned something about the Word. I learned something about God, the real God, the God who actually does what the Word says He does, who actually changes things. Amen. The Word actually does change. I mean, when it says in John 8:31-32, that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, it's real. That's true. Amen. That's the Word of God. It can. Listen, I was in church too my entire life. I went to churches and I heard people preach and I heard the little messages and did all the programs and all that stuff, and my life never changed by any of that stuff. It wasn't until someone started preaching the Word of God and didn't care about my feelings but cared about what the Word said that my life actually started changing. Hallelujah. I'm just answering some questions for you. It doesn't matter. See, this is one of the problems we think. Well, I was my grandparents and my great grandparents were pastors. Hallelujah! It didn't do me a lick of good to have all that in my background. I'm not saying it did, but you understand. It didn't change my outcome, is what I'm saying. When I was a teenager, when I was in my 20s, I still couldn't live. I still couldn't. There was times I couldn't even walk out of my house because I was under such bondage. You understand? I would break down. I would have mental breakdowns walking outside of my house. Yes. I don't have these things anymore, by the way. Glory to God. Why? Because I still have outbursts. But they're different, amen. They're Holy Ghost outbursts. Praise the Lord. Because God wants to do something in us. But God, His Word does work, but we have to connect to it. And we can't connect to it from the standpoint of saying, listen, I know all this stuff, Pastor Jeff. You don't know, because if you did know, your life would be changed. My life, I knew a lot of things that I didn't know. A lot of things I thought I knew. Praise the Lord, because my life didn't change. But when I started learning, glory to God, my life changed. It doesn't matter how long we've been doing it. Listen, praise the Lord. God always, we never stop growing in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We look unto Jesus. We keep our eyes on Him. But what I want to focus on here is back in verse 1. It says, let us lay aside every weight. Lighten up. Yeah. This is what lighten up is really about. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily entangles us and snares us. Praise the Lord. Wrong version up there, but that's okay. Glory to God. I'm reading now. They switched. Hey, that was quick. Praise the Lord. Pow! That's why we put those, we got Savannah back there and the ninja up. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, it's not there for, sometimes there's different things that go on, but praise the Lord, they're good. But I just saw Doth, and I know that Doth wasn't, I didn't just read Doth. Hallelujah. But every sin, we got to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily ensnares us. See, there's things that bog us down. There's things sometimes that aren't even sin that will bog us down. It doesn't just say sin, it says weight. There are things, you know, we get focused on so many things in life. This, listen, as a pastor, I am number one in this. There are so many times where it's like, I'm focused on this building project or that building project or finishing this or fixing this or whatever. There's always things to do, amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. There's always things to get accomplished. There's always people to help. There's always meetings to have. There's always these types of things. But how about spending time with the Lord? How about finding out God's plan? How about not being weighed down from God's plan by all the things that seem important to you? Because if there's things that are taking you away from God's plan, then they're not things that are a blessing to you or the local body. See, we need to all think about this. So I remember growing up as a Christian, I would think, I would think about my Christian life, and I thought about God through the week, but for the most part, my Christian life was church on Sunday, and then the rest of the week was just life. It was just what we did. And that's where Christians lose it. That's where they fail. Because you can't be a Christian on Sundays and not the rest of the week. It doesn't exist. This is a lifestyle. This is something that we are supposed to embrace. This is something that is supposed to change us from who we are and make us new creations. This is something that in today's society, we're so focused on stuff. We're so focused on doing things and vacations, and none of these things are wrong. We're so focused on work, paying the bills. None of these things are wrong. It's good to pay your bills. God wants you to pay your bills. But I'm going to tell you, God doesn't want you to work at the expense of church. He doesn't want you to do things. He wants you to enjoy life, but not at the expense of the plan of God. Because the plan of God is so much more important. Because, you know, we had a conversation this week, and it was really, it was really humbling. It was really eye-opening. But we had a really intense conversation about hell. And we had an intense conversation about one of the things that believers are going to do. You see, we're going to stand before Christ in judgment. We are as well. And God's going to try the works that we did, that we performed. And in that, that says that we will be rewarded or we will lose rewards based on what we did and whether our works were pure or not. Amen? It matters that you have good works. But one of the things that we're also going to witness is we're also going to witness the condemnation of the unjust, the ones who go to hell. Right. But one of the things that became eye-opening and made me just about sick to realize is that we are going to look into the faces of the people that we were supposed to reach and didn't. And as a result, they get condemned to hell. And we get to watch them get eternally lost. That's not a very enjoyable thought. In that, there are going to be parents, and this struck me as just horrible. There are going to be parents. They're going to watch their children get condemned because of what they didn't do. Imagine that. The Bible says that he wipes away out. There is a serious side to being a Christian, and that is making it our utmost important thing in life to get as many people saved, born again, and set free as we possibly can. Because if we don't, that's exactly the thing that we're going to be facing. Now, that's not because that's what God desires, but God has us here. We have lost this idea in the church that it is our part to make the plan of God, to be the arms. We are the arms and legs to the plan of God. We are the ones who open the doors to other people. We are the ones that make it happen. And for every single thing that we lay down, for everything that we refuse to do for God, for everything that was more important to watch TV instead of pray, and I know I am there, folks. But I understand exactly. And after this week, I'm telling you, my heart's changed. Yeah. Whatever you have me to do, God, I don't care if you want me to stand on a box on the corner of South Erie and Chautauqua Avenue. If that's what you... Stop. Yeah, Chautauqua Avenue. If that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do, praise the Lord. Whatever you have me to do, but I'm going to do it. And every single Christian needs to be hooked up with that. See, Christians are just floating through life. They think they're just being Christian. Oh, I'm saved. That's great, you're saved. But what about all those other people that aren't? What about all those people that you're in line with? If you ever looked around and considered that most of the people that are around you are not going to make it to heaven? If you ever considered that? And if you don't, then I have a question of how good of a Christian you actually are. Because our lives should be built around what we are to accomplish. God, what do you have us to do? Why did Jesus say don't worry about your stuff so you could just sit around and think about how rich you can get? No, he said don't worry about your stuff so you're not focused on things that don't matter. He said focus on my kingdom, focus on my work, focus on my righteousness, focus on what I'm doing. Yes. Praise the Lord, and I'll take care of all that. God said you will never lack anything in your life if you follow him. Nothing you will lack. He said, I've never left you nor forsaken you. But see, there's Christians who don't even believe that. They say, oh, well, you know. Well, Jesus said it. There's Christians over there. Oh, man, they write songs about it, don't they? They do all kinds of things. They just want to promote this idea of a lack of faith out there. And I'm going to tell you what. When I hear a lack of faith, it just makes me mad. And I'll preach about it. I'll call it out. You know why I'll call it out? Because a lack of faith is disgusting to God, and it's disgusting to me. And I won't have it in my church. I won't have it around my people. I won't have it around me. Hallelujah. I will not accept a lack of faith because it's gross. Pray. It's icky. Hallelujah. That was heavy. Praise the Lord. It was icky. That was making it a little bit happier. But it's gross. It's disgusting. We should be disgusted by a lack of faith. Oh, don't make me preach my tongue out. Amen. Glory to God. I know that the word sometimes, but we need to see these things. We need to understand that there's things that hold us back. We talk about that revival in the park. Listen, it isn't going to happen just because a bunch of people say, let's do it. It's going to happen when people get on their knees and say, Lord, we want revival in this town. It's going to happen when people say, Lord, I need more of you. I need to see more of you. I need to experience more of you. God wants to have a revival, but it does not have, every revival has always happened when people hit their knees and start praying to God. And I include myself in this. I'm just as guilty as the rest of you. Praise the Lord. If you're new here today, hallelujah, glory to God. We love you. We love the people. But this is why we do. This is why we preach the truth. Amen. We're not trying to run people out, but the truth is sometimes heavy. You know, sometimes the truth is the truth. You just got to hear the truth. We just got to be after it like a dog on a hunt. Amen. We just got to be after it with all we are. Turn with me to Matthew 16. Praise God. What time am I allowed to preach to on these new hours again? Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. There's my favorite. Where is she? Hallelujah. Matthew 16, verse 21. But I'll tell you what, you can't have church in 15 minutes. I'm just going to speak right now. If you go to a church where the message lasts 15 minutes, well, you just got robbed. Why? Because you can't preach nothing. If I can't even get through an introduction in 15 minutes. I've never, I'm just telling you the truth, man. I'm so glad that I got delivered from 15-minute church services. There was a pastor, I'm not going to tell you where, but there was somewhere close by. They told me that one of their congregations, we're talking about voting, right? One of their congregation members came to him and said, you know, well, summertime's coming around. And I just got done talking to this pastor, and we had talked about different how long people preach for. This pastor preached for approximately 12 minutes. Not a joke. And they had someone come to him and say, you know, it's summertime's coming around. We probably should shorten the service a little bit. Praise the Lord. You mean 12 minutes? You need to shorten that back a little bit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's just great. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. You know what's funny is there's pastors that will listen to that garbage too. Matthew 16, verse 21. See here, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. So he's laying out the plan of God, right? He starts telling them, he starts explaining exactly what they wanted, what was going to happen. Listen, is there anybody glad that Jesus went to the cross for them? I am so thankful that Jesus died for me. But Peter was trying to stop it. Why? Because Peter didn't want to. He didn't want to go through. He didn't want. Listen, the only reason he didn't want Jesus to die is because he didn't want to lose Jesus, which I understand. I wouldn't want to lose Jesus either. But you have to understand something here. The plan of God has to go forth regardless of what is going to happen. We have to be okay with that. Even if it costs. Listen, if it costs you being, you know, if you got to be devoted to church, you know, and you have to give. There's some things I have to give up in life. There's things that the Lord has shown me that I desire in my heart, that there's such a desire in my heart, and the Lord has shown me you will never do that as long as you live on this earth. Why? Because if I do that, then I have to give up the plan of God. Why? Because I don't have time to do everything. I love what Reverend Greer said. He said, you can't buy everything you put your beady little eyes on. I'm not saying God doesn't want you to have nice stuff. He does. God is all about his people having nice stuff. I'm just telling you the truth. There's some people that preach the opposite side of that. Say, well, God don't want you to have this. God is not against rich people. If he was, he would have never made Solomon rich, because the Bible tells us he made Solomon rich. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God is not, he made King David rich. Glory to God. He is not against rich people. That's not, but we have to balance all this out. You know, it can't all be about money either. You know what I'm saying? We can't just be, what can I get for me? What can I get for me? What can I get for me? Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 21, we're still there. And he raised the third day. And then verse 22, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. See, he wasn't going with the plan of God. You say this, but this seems so just and right. Yes, it does. But listen, sometimes things that seem just and right still doesn't make it the plan of God. God's plan is always right and perfect, and it's always just. But sometimes things happen in the plan of God. Listen, almost every, all but John, I believe, all the disciples but John, ended up paying for their faith with their lives. They were martyrs, every single one of them. Peter was executed on a cross. I believe he was in X fashion, or he was upside down, one of the two. One of them was beheaded, praise the Lord. Have you ever heard of Antipas? think it was Antipas, right? Was the name of him. He was put in, the way he was executed, they had this gigantic metal bronze bowl, and they put him inside this bowl, and this bowl had holes in the nostrils. This is a true story, folks. And they lit a fire underneath this bowl, and as the man screamed as he was dying, that was a sound coming out. They needed a little entertainment when they were executing somebody. This kind of stuff. There's people that paid for this gospel with their lives like that. Why did they do? Why do we say this stuff? You say that in church. Oh, this is not the PG version of church I was expecting today, Pastor Jeff. It doesn't matter if it's. We need to know the truth. Amen. We need to understand. Now, this is not saying that God's going to, require you to die in a bronze bowl. It's not even that God desires that anyways, but we do understand this, that we have to know that the people who brought us this revelation, that they paid for it with such a horrible, excruciating death, because then we understand, listen, there's truth to it. Yeah. You don't pay for something unless you believe it with all your heart and all your soul. Amen? Praise the Lord. Then Peter took him aside, rebuked him, verse 23, but he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Praise the Lord. What spirit are you of? When we cast vision for the church, when we say, this is what God is leading us to do, are you saying, oh, far be it from me, we're not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. Well, don't you know I need this and I need that? Listen, God said, don't worry about what you need. The problem, the reason you still need, listen, if a Christian lives in need, it is only because they're not following God fully. I'm just telling you the truth. God said he will supply every need. Every need. He promised it. What does that mean? I am not saying it doesn't look like sometimes that the needs aren't there. He didn't say it's always going to look hunky-dory. Paul said, I know how to abase and how to abound. But he also knew that every single time he had need, that God made sure that it came through. What do? We stand in faith until it comes. But I'm talking about somebody who just never, we lived that way. We lived with just never having anything. Amen? But God, and God allowed us to do that for a while because he allowed us to see some things. He allowed us to learn not to depend on those things and to depend on him. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's just the truth. And he turned to Peter and he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." And this is where so many Christians live. So many Christians live. They're not mindful of what God wants to do. They're only mindful of what they want to do. They're only mindful of how they want things to be. And Jesus called it, he said, "You were an offense to me." That word offense literally means a stumbling block. Now, was he causing Jesus to stumble? No, but Satan through him was trying to get Jesus to stumble. Satan through him was trying to get, Jesus knew that he could call down angels. Didn't even the devil remind of that in the wilderness? He said, you can call down angels. Throw yourself off this building. You come down. They'll come down and save you. The devil even knew that. Yeah. Jesus at any point on that cross could have said, I ain't doing this. Right. Come take me. Yeah. Angels, he would have had a legion of angels come down, wipe everybody out, and would have taken him to heaven. Yeah. He knew that. Yeah. The offense was a stumbling block, trying to get him to think of something other than the plan of God. Jesus was so focused on the plan of God. He was so focused on what God did, wanted to do, that he wasn't going to accept anything. He called Peter Satan. Amen. I ain't called any of you Satan yet. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And you ain't called me, so well, some people may have called me Satan. I don't know. I'm sure that that's probably going around out there a little bit, but, so be it. Hallelujah. Judge the fruit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. People lives change. I don't care if you don't like it. I don't care if people don't like it. That's the thing. We're helping people. Yeah. I don't care if there's 15 other churches. I don't care if they turn this car. Hey, this was a gas station. We can turn a car wash into a church too. Praise the Lord. Let's turn the car. Let's turn the Howard Hand over here. Let's turn that into a church. I don't care because God's called us here. If there's 15 other churches around, who cares how many? We need more good Bible preaching churches in every town. Listen, we can't fit 1,600 people in this church. And even a portion of the people that are here, only a small portion of the people here even live in Mayville. They live in the surrounding areas. So you have to look at the surrounding areas. We have lots of room to reach other people. We have lots of room for good Bible preaching churches. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We want to be mindful of the things of God, not the things of man. Matthew 18:7 says, "Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses come. But woe to the man by whom the offense comes." See, the Bible, it tells us that offenses are going. We know that people are going to be offended, that there are going to offend, stumbling blocks, that people are going to do things. Folks, you don't want to be the person who hindered the plan of God because you didn't like what was happening or because it just wasn't, you know, the way you were raised, your style or whatever. You know what I mean? We have to be very careful of that. We have to be very careful of those things. What hinders us? What holds us back? It's when people don't get all in. I'm just going to tell you something. We have 100% of our Corey church. There's three people, praise the Lord, right now. But we have 100% of that church. Yeah, we have others that come down, but 100% of that church is filled with the Holy Spirit. 100%. That's pretty good odds. That's pretty good figures, amen? That's pretty good things happen. These things are important, amen? And this church, I don't know how many, because I don't know exactly everybody who is or isn't, but it's important. We preach about the importance of it. You can't hear from God. You can't hear the fullness of God's plan for you unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people don't like that. They don't like to hear about those things. Oh, that stuff passed away. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, Jesus said that's what we were to look for. Well, praise the Lord. I'm not going to preach that message, but that's, you know, there's a whole other group of stuff with that. Praise the Lord. But we don't want to be the one who's offended. See, that's part of the problem, too, is that people, are you seeking God for the work of the... You know, we talk about confessing that the church has paid off. Why do we want the church to pay off? Well, we just want to put more money in our pockets, you know. That's why we want the church paid off. I'm just, you know, somebody will take that, clip it out. No, we want the church paid off because then we can do more of the things that we're called to do. Which is, you know, I'm just going to tell you. I can't go into all the details. But there is such a need for people to be able to reach out with money and take thousands of dollars elsewhere. But we can't do that when we're focused on our own stuff. We can't do that when we're, and we do give. We're a church that gives. We give thousands of dollars every year to various ministries, to various things. You know, we raised the money. We sowed money into TBN Russia. You remember? Praise the Lord. We're going to, so we have part to do with that. But, you know, we gave $1,500, I think, or somewhere around there, which is pretty exciting. But wouldn't it have been great to give $15,000? Yeah. Amen. Or the whole $57,000 that it costs to do it? What would it be like to go up to another ministry that's spreading the gospel like that? We reach every single person they reach. We have a part to do with that. Amen. Wouldn't it be great to just go to other places where maybe a church is struggling or something and say, here, you know, the Lord's put it on our heart. Pay this off. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. This is why we want to do things like that. Amen. Acts 7:51. Glory to God. You know, I know some people can come into church too and they think, you know, I was dealing with stuff and this doesn't really help. This, you don't even understand how much this helps you. Because if you care for the things of God with all of your heart, when the things of God mean something to you, He cares for all the things that you need too. He takes care of you. He's never left us nor forsaken us. I will never believe anybody who tells me that they have followed the Word and followed God with their whole heart and yet still went without. I'll never believe it. Why? Because it doesn't exist. That would make, if that existed, then God is a liar. And if God is a liar, then salvation is a lie. And all the stuff that we believe, God always takes care of the faithful. God always takes care of the faithful. Praise the Lord. Look at this here in Acts 7:51. This is, you remember Stephen? Stephen was another brother in the faith that was martyred for preaching the word. They didn't like him preaching the word. You know, there's still religious people today that don't like to hear the word. When you preach the word, when you don't compromise the word, when you will preach it, regardless of what people's feelings say, there's people that do this exact same thing. This was the religious leaders of the day. Don't you think that it's any differently today? Praise the Lord. And don't you be one of these people either. I'm not saying you are, but I'm saying make sure you're not. I make sure that I'm not. You know how I make sure I'm not? Every time something's preached that rubs my, well, you know, pets my cat backwards, praise the Lord, mows my field sideways, glory to God. Every time I get a message like that, steps on my toes a little, I say, ouch, hallelujah. Yeah. I get on board. See, because if it's the word, it's good. Yeah. That's all there is to it. If it's the word, it's good. I don't care if you don't like it. I don't care if I don't like it. There's lots of things. I heard things this week I didn't like. Yeah. I don't like to hear that I got to be more consecrated. I don't like to hear that I got to put some things down. Praise the Lord. But we want to do the work of the Lord. And then the joy comes out of that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look what he says here. Where was I? 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Praise the Lord. This man's preaching real good. Hallelujah. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. So we understand this. The prophets in the Bible, they were killed for the same reasons, because they were preaching the word of God and people didn't like the word. They didn't like it, so they resisted against it. What holds us back? It's resisting the word of God, resisting the things that God wants to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's this whole wave of Christianity today that wants to believe that God for some reason is doing things so totally different right now than he ever did. And yet the Bible tells us that God is God. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. That means his plans are the same yesterday, today. God is enveloped in his word. His word was given to us 2,000 years ago, approximately. We got the rest of the word. It was a little less than that, but we got the rest of the word within the last 2,000 years. It has not changed. He has not added to it. Why is God not added to it? Because there's no need to add to it, because God doesn't change. If God changed, we'd be getting one of these every week. You understand? We'd be getting something new every week, but the word is the word. It stays the same. It doesn't change. Amen. Glory to God. And we see that here, that people, and they resist. And of course, they stoned him shortly after that. Amen. They stoned the preacher for saying what he was saying, because they didn't like because everything he was saying was coming against. You know, they had their religious flow. They had the way of doing things. They had the things that they liked to do. Right? Yeah. That's the way that the Pharisees were. Does that sound like any other traditional garbage that you ever heard about? Yeah. Listen, I don't have a problem with tradition, but when tradition trumps the Holy Spirit, when tradition trumps the Word of God, yeah, then I have a problem with it. When you want to sit there and say, well, you know, we're going to do things a little bit differently now in church. Oh, you know, we're going to accept things that Jesus said were an abomination. Now homosexuality is okay in the church. No, it ain't. Now sexual immorality is okay in the church. No, it ain't. Adultery, fornication, now it's okay in the church. No, it ain't. Now drunkenness is okay. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. Why? Because the word says it isn't. The word said it never was, and I'm not going to toe that line. I'm not going to play that game. I'm not going to sit there pretending that the things that I want to do are okay just because I want to justify me doing them. They aren't. Those things send people to hell. And do you think that they're not sending Christians to hell, people who are supposedly born-again believers? The Bible says it does. It says it does. It says you cannot be a brother and sister and do these things and expect that you have that. You know, I'm putting some things together here, but you understand there's lots of scripture that leads us to these things. We don't just get a free pass because we've been born again. And yet there's so much of the church today, it's like, oh, just come in and we'll worship God with our top 40 music. Praise the Lord. We're going to worship God with our top. We're going to have our big bands there, and we're going to do all the things. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but when it's more important to have the light shows and the smoke shows and all the stuff, you know, and have the worship leader, make sure the worship leader is up there and being real relevant, or barefoot and no shirt on or something like that. I don't know if they do that yet, but you understand what I'm saying? This is not the plan of God. This is not the direction of God. God is not doing things different. God still requires his people to be righteous. He said, without righteousness, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Without holiness, amen? That means if you're not holy, if you're not living holy, you ain't going to see it. You won't see it. That's what Jesus said, not me, amen? Praise the Lord. Romans 14. But we're not just after that stuff. I believe we have good-hearted people here. And not believe it. I know it with all my heart that we have good-hearted people, because I know you. What this is doing, though, messages like this are meant to stir you to be after it, to be not willing to let it go. Because this is the thing, this is the truth about humanity, and I'm gonna give you a little reprieve here. The truth about humanity is this: our flesh always wants to do what's not right. It does. It's not our fault. It's the sin nature that we're born into. You didn't choose it. How many people chose to be born here? Praise the Lord. Nobody chose it. So you were born into something, you didn't have choice. But to remain in that is your choice. Amen. And so God gives us the way out of that. He gives us the answers to that. But we have to choose to go along with that. Our sin nature, the nature that's on the inside of us, it's constantly warring against. You know, in Paul, if you ever feel bad about yourself, you just do what I do. Go find Romans 7. And towards the end of the chapter, Romans 7, you know, Paul goes, he even calls himself. He says, oh wretched man that I am. Who will save me from this body of sin and death, I think is how he put it. And he said, I thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ paid for these things. But that doesn't mean there's not a part that we have to connect to. There's not a part that we have to play, because there very much is. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Romans 14:12. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. So the judgment that here, you know, there's a lot of people that always run on this too. Don't judge me, don't judge me. Well, the Bible says that we do judge things. But what he's talking about here is you don't judge a brother or sister's leading. If God's leading them into something, you can't necessarily just judge that. They answer to God, amen. That's what he's saying. But we say, well, let's not put a stumbling block in our brother's way. A reason, an offense, a reason for them to fall, amen. Glory to God. We each give an account to God for ourselves and what we did. But it's important that we're not doing things that are causing brothers and sisters in the faith to stumble. Amen. We need to do that. We need to reserve ourselves. We need to hold ourselves back from doing those things. Listen, sometimes this is just getting mad at somebody. Look, we're a family, right? You ever get mad at your brothers or sisters? Praise the Lord. You're going to get mad at somebody in here at some point. How you react to that is up to you. You know, you can react a godly way, which you forgive them and let it go, or you can act like a snob or like a jerk or anything else and do just what they're doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. A brother or sister does not. And listen, there was plenty of brothers and sisters that made me want to leave our church. Plenty of them. And when I mean plenty of them, I mean plenty of them. They were, and they didn't stop. They still do the same things. They've never repented for it. Well, God bless them. Hallelujah. God bless them. It's not going to rob me from doing what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're getting close here. Matthew 18:18. Praise the Lord. The key to this, though, or the bulk of this message, the point is that we need to run together. We can't be separated by things when we're... You are not your own anymore. You don't. When you've received salvation, you gave up yourself, or you didn't receive salvation.
That's good.
Yeah, it's the truth. Because you have to. The Bible says you have to die to yourself. This is a problem that I see, and it saddens me, and it actually makes me a little bit nervous. Nervous in the service. Hallelujah. Is to see Christians that haven't died to themselves. It isn't all about you. I know, you know, I mentioned this last night. Let's keep the eyes for the phones and the iPads and the other devices. I does not belong in a Christian church. It's not about you. And that's the problem. People who don't get connected are people who are all about themselves. People who don't run with what God is trying to do are all about themselves. Amen? Praise the Lord. Matthew 18:18. Hallelujah. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. That's a pretty heavy statement. Jesus said that. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Praise the Lord. But, you know, he says, whatever you bind and loose in heaven or on earth will be loosed in heaven. We bind things all the time by what we won't do. We bind the plan of God by what we won't do. The Israelites, great example. The Israelites were supposed to leave Egypt and go right into the promised land. We know that they were. But yet they spent 40 years in the wilderness. Was that the plan of God? Absolutely. Excuse me, absolutely not. What happened was is there wasn't people that were willing to say yes. There wasn't people that were willing to say, I'll go. They weren't willing to walk together. They murmured and they complained and all this stuff. And we see that all the time through, listen, the church is no different. These same temptations still come on us, but we decide whether or not we're going to do it. We decide whether or not we're going to live in it. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Whatever we bind or wherever we're gathered together. And this is why gathering together is so important, because God wants to be in the midst of us. God ordained the gathering together. He ordained the coming together. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's people that have left us because I preached. I'm just telling you the truth. Because I preach that it's not okay not to be in church. Praise. I've always preached that it's not okay to not be in church. Why? Because we are supposed to be gathered together. so we can bind and loose things, so we can tear up the devil's playground, so we can actually have power. But there's people that say, well, you know what? It's more important for me to go away over here for a month than it is to be in church. No, it's not. Church is not for God. You don't get brownie points for being in church. When have you learned? Listen, I have said this from day one, and I'll say it again. Do not feel happy or do not feel good about yourself because you came through the door. It's not for God. God gave you church. He gave you a pastor for you. He didn't give it for... Listen, that's the way he did it. He gave us these things so we could grow, so we could be, so we could advance, so we would grow in the things of God, so we would be trained to go out there and do the work of ministry. Praise God. Hallelujah. He doesn't do it for himself. You don't get any brownie points by showing up. We're happy you're here. I'll give you a brownie for showing up. We got brownies out there? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We'll have something out there. We'll have coffee for you afterwards, if nothing else. I'll make sure there's coffee for you. We love you. We'll have water if you don't like coffee. Praise the Lord. We'll even flavor it maybe for you. But I'm just saying, like, you don't get brownie points. And there's this idea that, you know, they're like, oh, you know, there's people. My wife was talking about those, you know, the Christians at Christmas and Easter Christians. They show up on Christmas and Easter, and they do it because there's some obligation on the inside of them. But listen, that's not... They've completely missed the point of what God's doing. They completely missed the point of what God wants to do. They've completely left it. Oh, praise the Lord. I said this earlier, and I want to say it again. Your opinion is not helpful. What is helpful is your agreement. We don't need people to come in here. Listen, there is 1,001 ways to do anything. If there's anything I've learned from the building trades, it's that you can build a house 100 different ways, and every single one of those builders will tell you that their way is the best way. One thing I've learned is that everybody got the house built, praise the Lord, and most of them stood. That's what matters, right? It doesn't matter if, if you want to cut your 2x4 this way and you got to cut it. You know, there's left-handed saws and right-handed saws. Praise the Lord. Use whichever one works. I don't care. It does not matter. You know what I'm saying? It matters that you build it so it lasts. It's the same thing with us. Like, there's 1,001 ways to do things, but what we want is God's way. What we need is God's way. What is God doing here? I don't care what God's doing in Celeron. It's great that he's doing something there. I believe he is. In Jamestown, in Fredonia. We have family churches. You know how we build our family churches? They send out pastors, and they seek the Lord, and they build each church the way that the Lord leads them to build the church. There's no governing rules on how. I mean, we have a basic rules of, actually, you know what? We have bylaws only because we have to by law. That's the only reason. Well, otherwise, we would just have these simple, our bylaws are this. But we have to have bylaws according to the law because, you know, the law wants to have, they want to make sure you're legit and all that stuff. I guess that's okay. But this is our rules. These don't change. And so it's pretty simple. Amen. We don't have, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Acts 2:37. We're getting close here. Praise the Lord. Acts 2:37. Yeah, I just went by it twice. Hallelujah. These really should excite us. These scriptures here. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they were talking, what was happening is Peter was preaching a message about Jesus and how they crucified, the very people that were standing there crucified Jesus, okay? And so now we pick it up in verse 37. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Listen, if a service doesn't move you to be better, if a church service doesn't try to make you want to be a better person, serve God more, we don't have to get in condemnation, and that's not the point of this. And if you felt condemnation up to this point, you shouldn't. Praise the Lord, and don't walk away feeling condemned, but just feel like you're going to do better. Yeah. Listen, this is my life every single day. I don't care how, just because I have the pastor hat on doesn't mean that I don't have to do better. Of course I do, amen? We all do. We all have to strive for better. Yeah. But a message should always move us to correct something. In fact, it is the ultimate in pride if a message is preaching something that you need to correct and you get mad because someone's telling you to correct it. That's what teenagers do. Are we really going to be a church full of adults that are getting mad because we get corrected? Oh, you can't tell me. You know what I mean? They were cut to the heart. It says they were cut to the heart. What shall we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? How do we change this? How do we fix this? How do we make sure that that revival happens? The first thing that has to happen is people have to desire it. And you, I mean, that means everybody in the church has to be like so stinking hungry for it that they're almost knocking on my door. Pastor Jeff, are we having revival yet? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? They're going before God. Is it time yet? I'll tell you what, when people start acting like that, you're going to start seeing revival. You'll start seeing the dead heal or raise to life. You'll start seeing people healed. You'll start seeing the outpouring of the Spirit all over the town. Why? Because people are desiring it. Bible says that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those are the ones that are going to be filled, not the ones who are complacent. Place it and bored. Praise the Lord. Now when they heard this, they were, well, we read that. Verse 38, then Peter said to them, repent, which means change, means do something different, means recognize that you were wrong and do something different. Amen. Don't just say I'm sorry, because sorry doesn't mean much. Your actions are what means something. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call. Praise the Lord. And with many words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. I'm telling you, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received, did everyone say gladly received? His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. That's a pretty good church service. Amen. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul. That's reverence, reverent fear. It's not like, oh, ooh, I'm afraid. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. When? After they continued steadfastly. Together in one accord, praise the Lord. Then many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Glory to God. Do you know the wonders and signs? Peter walked down the street and his shadow was cast on the ground, and the sick that were laid in his shadow got up and walked and were healed, completely healed of whatever disease. They didn't wait. They just got healed. Why? Because these are the wonders and signs. It's the same stuff that Jesus did, and it's the same stuff he wants us to do today. God wants us helped. He wants us saved. He wants the world saved. Listen, healing was never meant for healing lines in the church. It's just everybody in the church come up and get hands laid on them and get healed. That's great when it happens. Praise the Lord for it. We should be living in our healing and taking it out there to the world and getting those people that aren't saved to know our God. Because those people aren't going to want to come unless they see a God who is a God of power. Amen? The same God that always was. Praise the Lord. The same God that still is today. Now all those who believed together and had all things in common. Now all those who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Praise the Lord. Less than, what was the number? Less than 3% of the church tithes? Less than 3% of the church today tithes. These people didn't just tithe, they gave everything. That means something, hallelujah. It's hard enough sometimes. And then there's people out there arguing about the tithe and this now, it's not for today. Overall church I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about, I don't know what this church does because I don't know. You know, I just don't get into all that. But we're talking about the overall church. Which is less than Great Depression, by the way. Praise the Lord. And people want revival. You want your body healed. You want your kids set free. You want your mortgage paid. You know what I mean? And yet people are like, they're rejecting the things of God. They're rejecting what God wants to do. See, God doesn't, all that stuff he doesn't care about. It's fine. He's fine with whatever. As far as finance, he doesn't care if you got a lot, or you know what I mean? He doesn't want you to have a little, but I mean, he doesn't care if you have a lot. He's not focused on that. What he wants is people just to be so involved in him that he can't do anything but come. Yes. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. That's what we're heading towards. Amen? As the great prophet U2 once said, with or without you. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Praise the Lord. That's free. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church. The Lord added to the church. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Hallelujah. God is after something, praise the Lord. And he's after, what it is our hearts. I'm going to close with Revelation 22:20. Says, he who testifies to these things says, and this is Lord Jesus speaking, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord. Are we looking for the Lord? If we really believe that he's coming quickly, and he is, folks, I'm telling you, he's coming back for a glorious church. We really think about what that means. We'll be starting to live different. We'll start changing things. He's coming quickly. There'll be a time. We have a space and time to do this thing. And when it's done, that's it. There's no more time to do it. Amen. This life, we live for 70, 80, 90, 100 years. Praise the Lord. If you go all the way, glory to God. You can live this life for all those years. But compared to eternity, it's nothing. What God is setting up for then, right now, he's doing it here on the earth. Let's get connected to it. Let's not be held back anymore. Let's run with the vision. When we have, like, listen, I never, ever, ever will rebuke anybody for having a legitimate question. But just like I said to my sister Jennifer up there before service, people ask you questions for two reasons, because they either want to know, really want to know, or they just want to be argumentative and fight against it. Well, if you come at me with just something you really want to know, praise God, my door is always open. I will answer any question to the best of my ability any time that you ask, amen? But praise the Lord. But I ain't going to sit and fight and argue with people, because there's no fruit in that, amen? Glory to God. If you want to see in the Word, we'll show you in the Word. But, let's run with the vision. Let's run with what God has. Let's say, you know what? It's not enough that we're here. Praise the Lord. We have a pretty full church today. This is exciting. But this isn't, it's not a full church that does it. It's the people in the church that are excited to do it. Amen. And reaching out to do it. So let's run after the plan of God. Let's see it. And then let's see the things change in our lives. Let's stand against the devil together. You know, we've had some encouraging messages like that recently too. Let's stand against the devil together and just not let him have anything that he wants to have. Amen.